Okay, let's do it.
Lawrence Holmes ready to go. Here he is. What's happening, man?
Hello, men.
Hey.
What have you guys been talking about today?
Oh, a whole bunch of nonsense.
Bouncing around with this is the time, but usually after the championship Sunday and then the Hall of Fame announcement is when we get into silly season.
Although,
oh, good.
We had Rick Bucher on Radio.com Sports, the NBA insider, and there was a really – Dan and Rick kind of went back and forth for a little while about the – like a potential trade of Zach LaVine and what that looks like, what Rick sees in Zach, how Dan kind of sees Zach. It was a good, honest conversation where two guys
– he's buying, I'm selling.
Did not agree on the evaluation of the player, but also kind of saw the merits of the other's argument a little bit.
Well, that's
it was good. You should go back and listen to it.
If
you feel like it. It was a good basketball conversation. I kind of sat out and let the two guys kind of deal with it.
Well, I mean, those two guys know a little bit about basketball. It's just that I still quibble a little bit with Rick because he's one of these dudes that has the 30,000-foot view of the Bulls,
mm-hmm.
and that view is sunny.
Yeah.
I don't understand how. Like, I don't understand if you're watching even a little bit of the actual games that are going on and watching the coaching that's going on, that you could still be fairly positive about how this is going for old Jimbo.
Well, I think some of that has to do, I would guess, but the way Rick has talked about it probably has to do with the fact that he takes for granted some of the things that Bulls fandom takes for granted about the organization and the structure of it. You know, that some of these things aren't changing, that they have bought into a particular coach, a particular guy, a particular, style.
Let's say that that's true. Let's judge Jim Boylan in a vacuum without any of the other stuff, without any of the history.
Like out in space.
Now I just think of Jim in an actual vacuum.
Right? Well, I mean, without any of the other things, Garpacks, like take it all away.
Yeah.
Just what you're watching on a night-in, night-out basis is not an NBA coach.
No,
you can broaden that out to watching Zach LaVine play. You can't scout the stat line with him. You really have to watch what fits, what doesn't, what can be projected as part of a really good NBA team and what can't. We had a lively discussion yesterday with Rick Camp, just talking about what he is if, in fact, he's a contributor on a champion. And I think he's either
a 15-point game guy.
He's either a floor, like a Trevor Ariza type floor spacer who doesn't need to have the ball in
without
his hands.
The defense.
Right. Without, it's not 3-and-D because he's not a D and who you can't leave open. Or he is your leader of your second unit.
That's
just a maniac second unit
go
attacking scorer.
I think that'd be
right.
great
right.
For a particular team that's not the Bulls.
I
think that'd be a great setup for him.
Yeah, there's a role for this Zach LaVine on a really good team.
I wonder if he would be accepting of it.
Sometimes that takes years and years and years. But he's been in the league 6 years.
But he's not 25.
Right.
He turns 25. It's March 10th. He's not 25. He gets another bite at the free agency apple after he's turned 27. If I'm doing that math right. Yeah.
Where the opt-out is?
I guess that would be the opt-out.
He's a fascinating guy because of his skills are obvious to anybody with eyes. But playing NBA basketball, being really blossoming into being a star player on a great team isn't as easy as just saying it's your turn.
Right.
Or just declaring that you are that guy.
I do wish, though, that Lowry had some of that in him.
Yeah.
And I went through the stats yesterday because the last game that he played was another single-digit performance. So that's 9. 20% of his games this season, he's been in single digits. And this is the highest amount of single-digit games that he's had in his 3 seasons in the league. And in all the other 2 seasons, he's played more, even though he hasn't played a lot. But he's played more games than he's played now.
Yeah.
Like, that's regression, and it's major regression.
It's loud. It should be screaming to Bulls fan, that kind of regression. The word passive is the one that comes to mind when I watch Lowry play.
What happened to the defensive rebounding? Look at the defensive rebounding per 36 minutes, and look at the drop-off there, where he used to go rip the ball out of the air, turn and go, put it on the floor and initiate, get an and-one, attack. You know, get how many times he would fly to the basket, miss the shot, and tip in his own miss.
Right.
That happened all the time, and a lot of it was off defensive rebounds that were just activity and want to and playing at that level of intensity. And I don't know if they just have him drifting every time. I want him rolling more on pick and roll instead of popping every time.
That's a byproduct of the NBA today, that we rather have you, the two-point shot is not as valuable.
It doesn't have to be necessarily to get himself. You know,
saying to rotate the defense so that he can then pass the ball.
Move. Yet very often that pick and roll action isn't for the ball handler or for the screener. That you're just designing a suction that is going to get the corner three eventually. One pass in the corner three, but based on where you're forcing the defenders to go, it doesn't happen without that hard roll.
And based on Boylan putting Chris Dunn out there for that corner three, the payout's not really there either.
That's not great. You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, or radio.com sports station. Where do you guys stand on Hall of Fame voting?
I think it is a, I want to say farce, but it's out there as an accepted bad practice for acknowledging the game's greats.
I think that is spot on, Connor.
And I don't really get worked up about the unanimous voting. I think, you know, but it's not for attention. These voters aren't doing it for attention.
Some aren't doing it. Most aren't doing it for attention.
But they don't get the attention. Think about it this way. There are three voters who did not vote Ken Griffey Jr. into the Hall of Fame in his first try. Does anyone know who those voters are?
Well,
anonymous voters. Nobody knows who those guys were.
Buster Olney had a tweet last night, and he was saying that if you work in a profession where it's about honesty and transparency, why are we keeping these votes secret?
But see, even that is, the Baseball Writers Association voted to make all ballots public. The Hall of Fame is the entity that said, no, we won't do that. We won't make them all public. That's nonsense.
I agree with you.
I think the Hall of Fame runs themselves fairly well, too. But that's...
I try really hard to not get too mad about it, because at the end, it's the people that are going to get in are going to get in. But I just feel like there are so many inconsistencies. So like the conversation that we were having yesterday about, well, you know, Sosa getting a low percentage of the vote. And well, people have these thoughts on what he did. What I don't see, though, is people whose names weren't connected to any of that stuff getting the benefit of the doubt. And specifically, I'm talking about Paul Konerko. Mm-hmm. Paul Konerko is now off the ballot. He only got 2.5% of the vote. That's a guy that was never connected with this and still hit 438 home runs. I don't think Paulie's a Hall of Famer, but I do think that if there's going to be this thing where we're keeping Bonds and Clemens and Sosa and McGuire out as is saying, well, this is the era that they played in and this is what was going on.
Yeah.
If there are guys that don't have taint, then shouldn't they be?
Doctor.
Well, you have a serious problem. But if you don't have it, then shouldn't you be given some sort of credit towards getting into the Hall of Fame, considering the era?
Like an adjustment factor?
Yes.
Yeah, I get that.
My issue, I'm not trying to get Paul Konerko in the Hall of Fame.
Right,
I don't think that he's a Hall of Famer.
He's not.
But him, with his 438 home runs, mm-hmm. no longer being on the ballot after his first year of eligibility, seems unfair to me if we are not being consistent about the guys that we think cheated.
Does it matter to you then, and maybe this is too far afield, but does it matter to you then that Konerko's fate, one way or the other, is going to be waiting two more years or three more years until he falls off the ballot, and that's just as cruel?
Because
that's where it's going.
It matters to me that it feels like the referendum on his career was swift and painful, and I thought it was a little too swift and a little too painful. And I'm sure that he probably didn't think that he was going to get into the Hall of Fame.
I don't think so.
But to then be summarily dismissed.
See, I think it's a just outcome. I think that's appropriate. There's not a single aspect of me that sees him as a Hall of Famer at all.
I agree
not
with
you. Not even close.
But does his career... So are you saying his career is at least enough to warrant a longer discussion
yes.
about his, for whatever it's worth, legacy?
Yes. if we're keeping the other guys out.
Sure.
If we're pushing those guys out and saying, well, we know you guys, you did some stuff, so those numbers aren't real.
See, I'm not keeping them out.
I'm not either. But the voters are, yeah. And they're the ones who have now pushed Paulie off the ballot.
There's a couple aspects here. First, you have the social media component of the way these campaigns can develop, whether it's Tim Raines or other guys involved. Larry Walker is the beneficiary. Edgar Martinez was the beneficiary of some support in that regard, too. You also have changing the way we examine the game. We know certain stats mean more than other stats. We have ways of looking at defense. We have ways of looking at the totality of a career in different ways. And there are some injustices, perhaps. There are some. Look, we know Terry and I used to do it all the time. We used to go kick guys out of the Hall of Fame. And say, what's this guy doing there? We know there are all sorts of people in the Hall of Fame that don't deserve to be there.
Right.
Frank Chance and Phil Rizzuto. And, not even talking about some of the modern guys who are just famous or just people liked and that whole thing. But it is fair to really use the best tools at our disposal to examine how to be as objective as we possibly can to how good a player was. We may have a better understanding. I think we have a better understanding now of how good Scott Rolen was.
Yes.
And what his defense meant and how much it matters. There are different ways of measuring base running. We have better, finer instruments now to measure some things.
I don't disagree with you, Dan.
None of those help Paul.
But the objectivity issue is my issue. There's clearly a lack of it because people are going, no, Bonds, not a Hall of Famer. How? If we are using the numbers as a guide, how is he not in the Hall of Fame?
No, he's Babe Ruth.
So are you talking about numbers like Bonds' career WAR at 162.8 is ridiculous? Pre-1999, his career WAR was 99.6.
Also ridiculous.
Larry Walker's career, 72.7. Derek Jeter's career, 72.4.
This is what I'm saying.
I am with you. I'm with you there.
And then for even the stupid stuff, like I don't care if Derek Jeter is unanimous or not, but to be the outlier for whatever reason, mm-hmm. like you know that he's a Hall of Famer. You know it. So why wouldn't you vote for him? Like the whole thing is stupid. King Griffey Jr. is a Hall of Famer.
Right.
Why wouldn't you vote for him?
If I had to bet, and I don't think they change this rule, if I had to bet it's someone filling out a blank ballot to make some kind of statement, I can't tell you what it is, and I probably don't agree with the statement.
But that's what I meant by most of the writers aren't looking for attention, but some of them are.
But it's, I get that, but it's not attention if we don't know who the hell that person is, right? I mean, if we don't have a name for this writer.
No, you're right.
We don't have a name for the three writers that said no to Ken Griffey on the first try. If we did have those names, Ed Lover would be coming for him right now.
People said no to Tom Seaver.
Ed Lover was on this morning.
Ed Lover started our morning by like kicking down the door to the pre-show meeting. Like, why the hell did somebody
who
not
didn't
vote
for Derek Jeter?
Jeter. Yeah.
He wanted names.
Ed was on the path, man.
Tell him it was Ja Rule.
Yeah, Ja got a Hall of Fame vote.
He got it for Firefest. It was traded. Someone traded it for a cabana at Firefest.
It was Lady of Rage.
Paul Sullivan went to Firefest, wanted a cabana, and traded his Hall of Fame.
It was Ski Low.
Well, he wishes he had a few more votes instead of being a little bit taller.
I'm just trying to remember. I'm trying to remember like what the wheelhouse videos were for Yo MTV Raps. Like Poor Righteous Teachers.
Yeah.
And oh man. We used to hurry back from class to turn that on.
It's really weird that he's right down the hall.
I know.
Like, that's a strange thing that Ed Lover is down the hall.
When we were in Mitch's office for a pre-show meeting when Ed got hired by Jams, and Mitch tells us, you'll never guess who Jams just hired. It's Ed Lover. And Dan goes, what? And leaves the room. I thought it was to go like hunt down Ed Lover and give him a hug. But Dan's like, no, I was texting all of my friends from college and telling them that I work with Ed Lover now.
It's pretty great. Boys, enjoy yourselves. I got a busy show today. Good. A lot of cool stuff on it.
Awesome.
I'll see you guys tomorrow. That is Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.